Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. Today, I want to talk about Nicholas Maragalli and the techniques that he is using to destroy ADCC champions. Really simple stuff that you're going to be able to implement into your game and strategies you're going to be able to implement into your game right away. But first, guys, how did he do it? Mikey Musumeci has taken over the mantle as the celebrity jiu-jitsu guy. I have seen a handful of celebrities training with Mikey or talking about Mikey, and I just didn't see it coming. Today, I saw footage of, or Mikey posted on his Instagram, footage of him training with Tom Hardy. He's trained with Zuckerberg in the past. Sneeko most recently called him out for an MMA fight. That's the guy that fought Sean Strickland, who I'd never heard of, but who has a huge, huge following. But I just didn't see it coming. Like, Mikey is on fire right now. And prior to Mikey, Hegan Machado held that title as celebrity trainer. He's worked with people like Scarlett Johansson. I'm pretty sure he gave Scarlett her blue belt. Ashton Kutcher, who is a brown belt under Hegan. I believe he's worked with Keanu Reeves and a handful of other people. I think Mel Gibson. But there's a big difference, right? When I think of Hegan Machado, I think he's like working with celebrities that are interested, but they're really just taking a couple private lessons, maybe like one a week, and they're learning some really basic movements. They're doing some drilling, but I don't think they're actually training hard. I don't think they're actually super passionate about the martial arts. It's just another hobby of theirs, where it seems like the people Mikey's working with, especially Zuckerberg and Tom Hardy, they're very, very passionate about the sport of jiu-jitsu. And love him or hate him, Mark Zuckerberg, if you've watched any of his MMA footage of him like sparring or doing drills, same thing with his jiu-jitsu, like you can tell this dude actually cares. Like he's actually training. He's actually sparring with people. He's trying to get good. Tom Hardy, you cannot question Tom Hardy's belt and how good Tom Hardy is. Like he's competed multiple times. The footage I've seen of him competing at blue belt, he looked really good. I know he's won a couple tournaments. I believe he's a purple belt now. But yeah, like even in the footage Mikey showed, like his techniques look good. Like he looks smooth. He definitely looks like somebody that has put hours and hours and hours on the mat, much like Zuckerberg. But again, I just didn't see this coming. And in my mind, being a celebrity trainer, then there's the two sides. And I could never do what Hegan does. I would be miserable. I gave private lessons one time to a wealthier couple. And they were, again, interested in martial arts, but they weren't passionate about it. They didn't think about it in their off hours. It was more just something like they were trying to do together, a little hobby. And I just don't really enjoy working with people like that. I enjoy the people that dive headfirst, that are thinking about it all the time, that are asking questions off the mat, that are trying to watch videos. They're trying to just learn as much as they can with the time they're able to give to jiu-jitsu. And it doesn't mean I want you to train every single day. I'm not saying that. But if you're training once a week, I love like the next week I see you. If you've got a new question, you go, hey, I watched this Gordon Ryan match and I was really impressed by this. Or, hey, how did he do that? Like, I just love those type of engagements or engaging with students on that level rather than the, well, what are we learning today? I forgot what we learned last week. And I feel like that's probably what Hegan deals mostly with. These people are super busy. They're not trying to get hurt. They're just dabbling in the art rather than guys like Tom Hardy and Zuckerberg who are like, no. I am willing to even get injured to get good at this thing. Like I'm willing to sacrifice my body, sacrifice my time to master the art. But I would love to know how much Mikey's like charging for a private lesson. There were rumors that Hegan Machado, I want to say when he was working with Mel Gibson, that Mel Gibson would pay him $1,000 to come to his house and teach him a lesson in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Now, I may be completely off. That may not be true, but that's just a number I had heard. And I remember always thinking, like, man, if I just had one guy, one client that would pay me $1,000 a week to show to his house one time, and I would give him a seminar every single Saturday, a private seminar with just him and whoever he wanted to invite. Like, man, I'd be pretty good as a jiu-jitsu dude. And I wouldn't mind a client like that. But I've also had the dream of like, man, Zuckerberg, He's super into the art. I know I've kind of mentioned this once or twice on the podcast. I'm like, what if he finds the grappling discourse and he falls in love with the podcast and he's trying to invite me out to come teach him some lessons, or he's trying to even come here to do some lessons. Like, you know how sick that would be? And I was like, how much would I charge Zuckerberg? Would I just charge him my normal fee, or would I raise the price knowing that he's got billions upon billions of dollars? And that's the ethical dilemma I would be put in a situation like that. But I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind having to decide whether I was going to charge him $150 an hour or I was going to bump it up to $500 an hour. But in my mind or fantasy, it's always like some super rich celebrity is like, hey, let me bring you out for a month and I'm gonna give you $50,000 to just come out here for a month and train me every single day. We'll roll, we'll do drills, techniques, we'll go eat, we'll do like 2 sessions a day, Monday through Friday, take it easy on the weekend, and we'll do that for a month. Here's $50,000. But Mikey's got this. He seems to be on the inside track, and like the celebrities and everybody's going to him. And I just didn't see that happening. But now let's talk about more serious matters. Nicholas Marigali. Nicholas Marigali is on absolute fire. He has beaten 3 straight ADCC champions in Nogi matches. And in each one of those matches, he has absolutely dominated them. He has submitted them. He made Felipe Pena quit. He just submitted Mateus Denise with a rear naked choke and beat Kainan Duarte, dominated Kainan Duarte, and finished him with an arm triangle. But watching his game, you know, and I kind of alluded to this in the last episode, like watching him, he's got a very simple game plan. He wears people out on the feet, gets to the ground, pressure passes on top, like use the side-to-side movement to try and get inside the guard into a half-guard situation where you can get chest-to-chest, passes to the mount. They either expose their back or he's been finishing with the arm triangle. Now, in this match, he was supposed to finish with the armbar, and we saw in that from that YouTube footage that he was working on that armbar setup where he was either going to suffocate, like use a chest compression and suffocate Mateus Denise, or get the armbar. But again, he decided he was too nice of a person and he didn't want to be an asshole, so he decided to take the back and finish with a choke instead. But when an athlete is putting on performances like this, regardless of what you think about him as a person, you just have to respect. You have to respect him as an athlete, because, man, Nicholas Marigali is on fire right now. And I would be fascinated to see what happens if Gordon Ryan does come back. Like, if Gordon's out for an extended period of time and then he tries to come back, like, is Marigali going to be the top dog in the room? But this is a discussion for another podcast, because I really want to just talk about the technical aspect, because I think there's some things we can all learn from Marigali that are going to be really easy to implement into your training room. And I'm a big fan. I was telling this to somebody yesterday. They were asking about a technique, finishing a single leg. And I was like, look, it's so simple. You know, watch the best guys in the world. And just if you see the best wrestlers, you see the best submission only grapplers, you see the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys, and you see them using techniques at the highest level, then feel free to add it. Like, you don't need to ask. If you see Gordon Ryan do something, you don't need to ask me if it's good, right? Like, he's showcasing it at the highest level. And Marigali showcased again against 3 straight ADCC champions, and he's essentially made 2 of them. He made Kainan Duarte and Felipe Pena just basically give up. They were so gassed. And it starts on the feet. I remember watching Marigali make this transition from gi to no gi, and the biggest question was, what is he going to look like on the feet? Does he have wrestling? And we know at the highest level of no-gi grappling, the best guys get on top. People are not winning ADCC absolute championships from the guard. They're just not. The smaller weight divisions, yes, you're going to have more success with it, but the heavier the opponent, the more you want to be on top. I would love to see just the win-loss rate versus people that like pulled guard or ended up on bottom to start the match, or just were put there. Versus the people that stayed on top, because I guarantee it's over 80% win rate. So we're all wondering, how is Marigali going to get on top? We've never seen him wrestle in the gi, and wrestling in the gi just really isn't, it's just not really a thing. That's one of the biggest things. Is like, number one, some of the submissions change. Like, when you get to the back, you're not going to be using bow and arrow chokes. You're going to have to get really good at a rear naked choke. When you're in mount, you lose the cross collar choke, which is arguably the best submission in the gi. You're going to have to get really good at things like arm triangles and mounted arm bars. But in the gi, judo is much more prevalent. Those grips are completely different when you take off the gi, right? Like, no-gi judo just isn't really a thing. And there are some concepts that you can be successful with. Like, the Uchimata is still a really good movement, but it's nowhere near as powerful no-gi versus gi. It's just not. And if you look at people that just have success with overhooks, like, again, I guarantee it's just the highest levels of wrestling and the highest levels of submission grappling, the underhook is a much better tool to have and to get really, really good at and to force than an overhook. But again, it doesn't mean you can't have success with the overhook. I'm just talking about overall, you really want to focus on getting those underhooks. Now, Marigali, again, when he first started, I remember watching him in his first couple of WNO matches, and he faced Brailer Grout. And Brailer is a guy out of Keenan Cornelius' school, and he's really good. He's a very, very, very good black belt, an elite-level black belt. Now, he's probably a couple levels underneath the top, top guys. Like, he's never been in ADCC, but he competes in everything. He puts on good shows. He was in the Who's Next reality show. And again, he's good. He's very talented. And Marigali just looked clunky in that match. He was trying to force single legs, and it's just timing was off. It just, his entries weren't smooth. He ended up finishing that match, but as he's progressed, and especially these last three, like, the biggest difference from his ADCC run to where he's at now, the past 6 months, is his hand fighting and his ability to recognize when to shoot for a single leg. Now, the Donahue room really goes back to, like, old school mentality of, we are going to apply pressure over time. None of Donahue students outside of Gary Tonin are really explosive. When you watch Nicholas Marigali, you do not see an athlete. You don't see a guy out there that's, like, going to blow you away with his 40 time or how explosive he is. Gordon Ryan was the exact same way. Gordon never overwhelmed his opponents with athleticism. Bo Donnie, same thing. If you go watch Bo Donnie versus Hulk in the finals of the 88-kilogram division from this past ADCC, you'll see much the same. Again, not a guy that's going to win with explosion. But what they do is they do a ton of hand fighting. And proper hand fighting is probably one of the easiest things to learn. But at the same time, it takes time, and people try to force takedowns way too soon. I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of jiu-jitsu guys make, and a lot of especially sub-only grapplers, they're too impatient. They just have none. I see some of our guys, and it's just like, the one thing I wish I could change with our students was just give them all more patience. You don't have to shoot right away. You can spend 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes in a neutral position working on just chipping away at your opponent. You don't need to take risks. And you watch Marigali and Gordon, like, they really thrive in long matches because they understand how to dictate the pace and how to win the small battles. And those small battles, why they might seem insignificant in the beginning, and especially they're insignificant if it's just a 2-minute match. If you're just having a 2-minute match, then yeah, winning the little hand fights and then getting to the head and snapping down, making your opponent wearing on your opponent and making them, carry your weight, it's just not as important, right? It's way more important to be explosive. But these grappling matches are 10 plus minutes, especially when you're talking about ADCC, that's a 10-minute regulation, and then you have an overtime. UFC Fight Pass, 10-minute regulation, 5-minute overtime, 15 minutes of grappling. You just have a lot more time, and those small battles become way more important. And if you just watch Marigali, his ability to win inside position and get to the head and snap the head down of his opponent and make them step forward, right? He makes them step forward. He makes that neck bear some weight. And you'll see after he does that a few times, his opponent starts to stand more upright and in a more upright stance, which then gives him access to the legs. And that's where he just wins good head position. That head goes right to the chest and he picks up the single leg. In all of the matches, this is exactly what he does. But the biggest thing is patience. And you have to spend time in the stand-up position just working on hand fighting, making sure you don't end up in poor positions. What I mean poor positions is, number one, like you never see them like just like collar tie, where like Marigali's never just collar tied with his opponent and they're not just both hanging on each other's necks and they're not just like doing the kind of like the drop. I call it the drop, where you're just like hanging and you're trying to like up, down, trying to force a snap down. They use their leverage. They use length to get to the head and pull them into spaces where they don't have their base underneath them. And I saw a really good video a couple of days ago from Jason, what's his last name? Nolf, I think. He was a Penn State wrestler. He's got a really good Instagram channel if you're looking to get better at the stand-up game. I mean, again, wrestled at Penn State, but he's fighting MMA now. He's gotten into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I believe he's a purple belt, but he just has some great tools. And he was talking about that. The biggest mistake Jiu-Jitsu guys make with their snapdowns is you can't do it from like a double collar tie position. Like if I have a collar tie and my partner's got a collar tie, we're basically just wasting our time. And you'll see Marigali, Bodani, Gordon, they do such a good job of stripping collar ties. And then when they get on the collar tie themselves, they're so good at just pulling that person into space where they do not have good base. And it's, again, it makes it really heavy on the neck. It makes it really heavy on the back. And the back starts to get tired. They start standing more upright, and that's when Marigali shoots into the legs. And in this most recent match against Mateus Denise, you saw him, like he gets to the head, and then he shoots, tries to get that head position and grab a single leg, and Denise defends the first time. I think he defends the second time, and the third time, Marigali ends up getting that single leg and putting Denise down. And it's just so simple. It's so simple that it's easy to overlook. But it's just so effective. And I was telling the guys last night during my class, like, what are the two best ways to score points? In NCAA wrestling, it's the single leg. In ADCC, you know what the best way to score points from feet to ground is? It's the snap down. It's just snapping your opponent down and going behind and taking the back. That is the number one way athletes score in ADCC. And so you really, if you just focus on and you just study what Marigali's doing, and you're studying what Bodani and Gordon's doing, but especially Marigali, because his is the simplest. You'll see Bodani, he'll do different things. Gordon, same thing. I've seen Gordon do knee taps. You'll see Gordon try foot sweeps. You'll see all this stuff. Marigali literally just wins the hand fight, snaps the head down until they end up in a more upright posture. And then he picks up the leg and puts his opponent down. So if you just start with this, so if I just give you these drills to do, one, you just start doing 5-minute rounds with your partner where you're trying to win the hand fight, get to the head, and pull your partner into space. So you keep that length so those snap downs are more effective. Number two, you start in a single leg. So you just work on literally finishing the single leg. That's it. You start deep on a single leg, you go. It's a technique I've seen, and it's one we're starting to do a lot, but I saw Joseph Chen, and I know his coach Dima has a lot of his athletes for ADCC preparation do, just getting better at finishing the single leg. I also think Greg Saunders uses that as well. And then three, putting it all in together, right? Getting there, snap, 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 and getting good at just entering and recognizing when is the proper time to go for a single leg. And one of those, I know, I can't remember if it was the first one or the second time Marigali took Denise down, but one of those, like he goes for a snap and you see Denise just pull away. You see him just pull his head back. And Marigali instantly just picks up the single leg and puts him down. He did the same thing to Felipe Pena. I just watched the Felipe Pena match again. Same exact thing. And you can watch those and just, it's so simple. So just three things. And I really believe you'll get better as a wrestler. But the most important thing is you cannot be impatient. Because most people, they treat it like wrestling. Like, and the Donahue guys use weird terms. You know, they call it scrimmage wrestling and all this stuff. But they recognize that it's not the same as collegiate wrestling. It's not the same as Olympic wrestling. The time is completely different. And so most wrestling coaches or most like people you talk to about wrestling, and I feel like that's one of the biggest issues with wrestlers is they come in and their pacing's all off. Sub-only guys, their pacing's all off. They want to get to the submission as quick as they can. You need to train your patience. And the best way to do that is use a clock and have specific goals in your training. And for me, and what I want to see more from my guys, like, hey, we're going to put 3 minutes on the clock, and I don't want to see you shoot any takedowns. I just want to see you hand fight. And I want to see you get your partner super tired. I want at the end of the round them to go, man, my neck or oh, my back started to get tired right there from resisting that snap down. Now, something else and why this is also so important, because if you just watch a lot of like low-level matches, and you know I'm talking about blue and purple belt, just your local Naga matches, your local just your local competitions, you'll see a lot of guys in jiu-jitsu. They're very hesitant to go for takedowns. And so a lot of times they'll play with like their hips really far back, and because like they'll start standing, but they'll be super defensive. And so it's going to be really tough to get on their legs anyways. And so you'll see guys, they're trying to win underhooks, they're trying to shoot shots. And if you're not super explosive, you're going to really struggle to get in. Now, Jordan Burroughs, he's going to be able to get on any of us whenever he wants, because he is the most probably explosive athlete in grappling of all time. I mean, his time from like his shot to his entry, I mean, he looks like a plane taking off. But most of us don't have that. Most of us are average or even below average athletes. And so practice like, hey, Jordan Burroughs is the go. Why would I practice Nicholas Marigali's strategy when I could study Jordan Burroughs or Bo Nickel? And it's like, look, you're not an athlete like that. Most of you guys, especially listening, are in your 30s. You're not all of a sudden going to develop a super explosive double leg. But any of us can learn to hand fight better and hang on the head better and just learn that dilemma from, okay, you want to play with your hips back because you don't want me to grab your legs? Well, I'm going to pull your head forward. I'm going to keep pulling your head forward until you get tired and then you realize, okay, I need to stand up more tall so I'm not getting pulled. I'm not getting snapped down as much. And then that's when we head position in the chest, pick up the single leg. It's such a beautiful dilemma. It is so simple. And I think that's the thing I appreciate most out of the Donahue camp. Is Donahue more than anybody, like his system is, you can replicate it. Any of us can replicate what those guys do. I get it. Gordon Ryan's on tons of steroids. He's super jacked, yada, yada, yada. But his jiu-jitsu, anyone can do. Mika Galvao, the Rutolo. I want to study the Rutolo's takedowns. Like, dude, good luck emulating the Rutolo's. If you're not 17 years old, you're not going to be able to replicate a lot of the stuff Mika does and the Rutolos do and Dorian Olivar, those guys. There is something that happens the older you get, the more you do, again, appreciate the slower games. And while I love watching, again, those young guys go at it, I recognize now where I'm at as 34 years old, I'm not trying to cartwheel pass. I'm not trying to shoot blast double legs. I'm not trying to like get underneath, because that's the worst part of wrestling. And I think one of the things that really has scared people from getting better at the feet is like you've had a wrestling coach or someone's taught a class and you guys are just practicing shooting in on double legs. You go to do that in competition or even go to do that in the gym and somebody snaps you down or just sprawls on top of you and your face hits the mat. Or even worse, you're reaching for it. And somebody like me who has tight shoulders, I hate when I'm shooting for a single, like a shot and I do it poorly and somebody sprawls on my shoulder. Feels so bad. Like it just feels so unhealthy. And we actually just had a guy recently who tore his labrum and his rotator cuff training with the heavyweights. He was wrestling a lot with the heavyweights and one of them sprawled. He went to shoot a double leg, guy sprawled on his shoulder, tore his labrum and his rotator cuff. And that's a pretty common wrestling injury that happens with, again, just shooting, getting sprawled on, all that weight. Like, it's just not good for you. And so with this method, you'll see Marigali has never once been sprawled on. Not once. And he picks up the single leg. He makes it look like, again, the easiest thing in the world. And so let's all try to emulate Marigali a little bit more. Let's work our patience. Let's win the hand fight. Let's snap the head down. Let's get him more upright postures. And then let's just pick up the single leg. Only good things will happen by using this strategy. Until next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. Peace.